Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. On behalf of First Presbyterian Church, I want to welcome all of you to our service today, and I encourage you to sign the fellowship pad as it is passed along to you. If you are visiting, we invite you to join us for refreshments after the service in our fellowship hall that way. We especially want to welcome Jackson Weller and all of our other members who accompanied him on the mission trip to Jamaica. We are glad they're back safe and sound, and we are eager to hear about their important trip. I am Robert Ramey, a retired pastor and seminary professor. I am serving today as we await our new interim pastor, Dr. John McDonald, who will begin preaching here next Sunday, July 1st. A number of us have been filling in, as you know, until our interim pastor could be selected. Also, a congregational meeting has been called for next Sunday for the purpose of voting on the slate for the pastor nominating committee. Also, please pray each day for the people listed on our pastoral concerns list and also mentioned in the folder in your bulletin called Pray Together. And one other thing, this morning I want to wish the Brown family all the best as they move to Savannah this week. Jared and Lisa are here with one of their relatives and also with their two children, Trevor and Nathan. Last night in a moving ceremony, Trevor was awarded the Eagle Scout badge. And we want to congratulate him. All the best to you. You've meant a lot to us. And our liturgist today is Jean Hayes, who will lead us after our prelude.
Thank you. Good morning.
The liturgist normally will introduce our visiting pastor today, but I would be somewhat presumptuous to introduce Bob Ramey. Bob Ramey is a child of this church, and people know Bob Ramey better than they know me, so I wouldn't introduce him, but I would like to say, Bob, thank you so much for serving us today. We always appreciate it, and we look forward to what he has to say to us today. Let's join together in the responsive call to worship. On this June Sunday, we come to worship God. We come trusting that God will speak to us. On this day, like other days, we seek to follow Jesus. We follow believing that Jesus will be with us. On this day, we lift our souls to God's Spirit. We open our hearts that the Spirit may fill us. Let us worship God. Let us join together now as we sing hymn number 469, Morning Has Broken. Join me now in the bulletin with the unison prayer of confession. O God, others have told us that we have faults, and so we try to live up to their expectations. We are so intent on watching for all that could go wrong that we miss your hope rising just over the horizon. Even so, we know that you forgive us and will help us get back on the right path. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Let us now continue with our silent confessions and prayers. Amen. Join me now for the responsive assurance of pardon. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Amen.
Please be seated. This time, I would like to invite all the children to come forward to hear what Kathy Dolionitis has to say to you today.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Lots of energy? Ready to go outside later on? Play? Another beautiful day, right? Well, I have a story to tell you. And it doesn't have to do with summertime. It has to do with Christmas time. How many times have you looked under the Christmas tree and you see different size boxes? Right? What sizes are they?
From that to the top.
A really big one, right? Do you see medium-sized boxes?
No, only large.
Okay, only large ones, James says. Okay. Anybody see small boxes? Sometimes? All right. Which box do you, if you go under the tree and your mom and dad or somebody else says, okay, go ahead and pick a present, which one do you usually go to first? The small one or the big one? Well, you just messed up my talk today. No, you didn't. I'm just teasing. You go to the small ones, huh? You say, oh, okay. You think something good's in the small ones as opposed to maybe the big ones? Well, Matthew, he will go. I remember when he was younger, he would always go to the big ones, my son Matthew. He said, oh, I know there's really good stuff in there as opposed to the small ones. And especially at his grandparents' house, he'd go over there and open it. And then we'd open it up in the big one. He said, oh, I know there's going to be something really good in there. And then there was what? Clothes. No toys, no gift cards, clothes. He says, oh, this is boring, you know. He said, well, why did you open the small one? So he said, ah, the small ones aren't, no, there's nothing in there. So when he opened the small one, you know what was in there? $25 GameStop gift card. A little game for his DS. Should he gone for the small one?
Yeah.
Today in our scripture that Dr. Ramey's going to read to us is about judgment. And I want to read a little bit in judging others. And it says, it's from Matthew, which is in the New Testament, right? One of the four Gospels. First book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to read a couple of verses. It says, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. When you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to it in your own eye, how can you say to your brother, take the speck out of your own eye, when all the time there is something in your eye? So Matthew thought there was better stuff in the big box than the little one, right? So he was judging that. So sometimes we'll see situations or we might go to a restaurant. It doesn't look too great on the outside, but we get in and the food's really good. Or we might see someone that talks differently than us or looks differently, and we're not too sure about them. But what should we do instead of judging the situation? Should we show God's love to these people? That's right. And show encouragement to them? That's right. So we need to practice not judging, but instead of judging others or situations, we need to share love and to share God's encouragement with others and to pray that God would use you not to judge, but to love one another. All right? All right, let's bow our heads for a prayer, then we can go on back for Sunday school. And you can repeat after me. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all the many blessings of this day. Thank you for your love in helping us to share your love with others and not to judge, but to give your love always. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
Join me now for the unison prayer of illumination. O God, use your word to open our hearts and minds to what you have done for us through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who came long ago to give us hope and salvation from sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament lesson comes to us today from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And the reference to this in your pew Bibles is on page 222 or 231. I'll give you a minute to grab that and look at it and follow me as I read. Second Samuel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And this is Nathan and David, and Nathan is rebuking David for his actions. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the travelers who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against this man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own."
Bestowed and humbly ask for more.
our gospel lesson this Lord's Day is found in the gospel according to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Listen for good news. Jesus said, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." Here ends the reading of the gospel lesson. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. A deadly sin stalks the earth. It destroys friendships, blocks growth, and leads to self-righteousness. We all condemn it, yet we may commit it often. What is it? It's the sin of bad judgment. Jesus counseled against it, saying, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged." What is bad judgment? Did Jesus mean we are never to evaluate the moral actions of other people, or to judge which repair service to call when your TV breaks down? Hardly. Look at Jesus himself. He called Herod a fox, Peter a hindrance, and the Pharisees, hypocrites. Moreover, he urged his disciples to keep their eyes open, saying to them, "Lo, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Jesus knew that we are bound to make judgments about people. We would be naive not to do so. Listen, a lazy worker is a lazy worker. A thief is a thief. Of course, Jesus was not telling us not to make judgments about people and their actions. There is a right kind of judging. Right judgment is based on facts, not appearances. It looks for the best in others, not the worst. It desires to help, not to condemn. It hates the sin, but loves the sinner. This is how Jesus judged. And because his motives were good, his attitudes healthy, and his life sinless, his judgments were always the right kind. He saw people as they really were. When he said, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged," he was talking about the wrong kind of judging, bad judgment, if you will. Bad judgment now is automatically adopting a critical attitude toward people, looking for flaws in their character. It looks for nothing but an opportunity to rip the reputation of somebody to shreds. It's evaluating people without having compassion. It's refusing to look for good in them. It's hating the sin and the sinner. Such bad judgment usually jumps to conclusion and never gives anyone the benefit of the doubt. There's a vast difference now between saying with obvious delight, Did you hear what happened to Joe Doakes? And saying compassionately, Joe Doakes is in trouble. I've got to help him. In one case, you're taking satisfaction in what has happened to Joe Doakes. But in the other case, you are reaching out a helping hand without feeling self-righteous, God-like, superior, or entitled to condemn. When Jesus said, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged," he was talking about critical, automatic fault finding. In other words, bad judgment. What's wrong with bad judgment? Said Jesus, "For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get." Jesus could have meant that when we adopt a critical attitude toward others, they will do the same toward us. Or that when we judge others, we unwittingly judge ourselves. Or that critical, harsh judging will bring us all under God's judgment. One thing is certain, however, the measure we give in life is the measure we get back. If we pour nothing but hate and poison into life, like a boomerang, life will give us back the very same thing. Someone has said that if you corner a rattlesnake, the snake will get so mad that it will bite himself. Now, I for one don't plan to find out whether that's true or not. Yet I do know that that is exactly what happens to us when we harbor hate and resentment toward others. We bite ourselves. How many of our physical ailments are caused by holding grudges and harboring resentment toward others? Not only does bad judgment harm us, but it harms others as well. It makes for bad human relations. Hate begets hate. Here's how it works. Suppose I say to you, "Have you heard the latest lowdown on Jane Doe?" Well, you put your ear a little closer because you naturally want to hear the latest scoop. So I give you an earful. The next time you see Jane Doe, you say to yourself, "Aha, I know about you." Finally, the word gets back to Jane Doe herself, just what I said about her. She likely feels some anger, maybe hate too, for it is hard to forgive a smear against one's character. Hate often creates more hate. Bad judgment harms us. It harms others, and also the judgment may be totally false. Too often we judge one another by appearances, so we frequently make hasty and erroneous mistakes. A pastor arrived in his study about 9:15 in one morning. He had been up late with a church family the night before. They had suffered a death in the family. A member had been waiting to see him again since about 9 o'clock. As the pastor walked in, she looked at her watch and said, "Well, it must be nice to keep your hours." Little did she know what had gone on the night before. Such flawed judging happens when we judge just by appearances. All right, just why do we engage in such bad judgment? For one thing, it builds up our own egos. If you need an ego boost because you feel inferior or are unhappy about your own life, you can point out all the faults in somebody else, so much so that you are blinded to your own. Jesus, in fact, said, "Why do you see the speck that is in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye. This is an old device. If I can just get you to see a speck of sin in somebody else, maybe you won't notice the logs of self-righteousness and pride in me. In much of our critical fault-finding, aren't we building up our own egos at the expense of a brother or sister? Moreover, we also blame others for faults that are really in us. It's hard to see ourselves honestly as we really are. It's painful and produces guilt. So we may project or transfer that blame onto others. The classic biblical example of this was King David. King David became perfectly furious at a rich man who had many flocks, but then took a lamb from a poor man who had only one lamb for a pet. Why did David get so furious at the rich man? Was it easier for him to transfer the blame to the rich man than to face his own more serious guilt? After all, he had an affair with Bathsheba, the wife of his soldier Uriah, and even sent Uriah to the forefront of a battle to get him killed. Then David married Bathsheba. Nasty business. All of us have a shadow side, as psychiatrist Carl Jung put it, a dark side we suppress and hide because we think it's unacceptable to reveal to the public. We too may lie and hide ourselves and possess hidden secrets. But rather than face ourselves, we may project our self-hatred onto someone else. Look at what happened to Bill Clinton 20 years ago. Many people talked about his disgusting behavior with Monica Lewinsky. Of course, we cannot excuse his behavior. But there was more going on in our Clinton bashing than we realize. In fact, three of his sharpest critics in Congress had to come forward later and confess that they too had had extramarital affairs. Those who scream the loudest about such things may have the most to hide. And note this, we tend to judge others by ourselves. We think other people will behave as we behave. For example, a liar doubts his neighbor's story. A tight person thinks that everyone else is out to cheat him. When people tell you something about another person, they are often telling you that much about themselves. It's amazing how much we reveal about who we are when we size up others. Don't judge others by yourself. You might just be using them as scapegoats or mirrors. So, what's the cure for bad judgment? Judge yourself first, Jesus seemed to be saying. You hypocrite, he added, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. And that's good advice. When you feel like judging someone harshly, stop and ask yourself, is this fault something of which I am guilty? Often you will discover a fault in yourself that needs the cleansing power of Jesus. So, study the traits that irritate you and other people. One man who had learned to judge himself first said, looking in other people for faults which I had a secret consciousness within myself has more hindered my progress in love and gentleness than all things else. So judge yourself first. Furthermore, put yourself in the place of others. That's the second step in curing bad judgment. try to understand how and why they came to be as they are. The Sioux Native Americans have a prayer that reads, "O Great Spirit, help me never to judge another until I have walked 2 weeks in his moccasins." There's always a reason people are as they are. They may not want to be that way. Where would you and I be if we had walked the same path they have had to walk? But things change when you judge yourself first and put yourself in the place of other people. Never will you condone evil acts, but God will put into your heart compassion, understanding, and forgiveness. In Luke's gospel, in talking about judgment, Jesus said, "Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." I have been astonished by the power of taking a positive attitude toward people. On Main Street in downtown Danville, there's a sign on the Elks home, right across from Rippey's. You probably know where it is. And I used to read that sign as I walked by as a boy. And it says, "The faults of our brothers we write upon the sands, their virtues upon tablets of love and memory." The more we put ourselves in the place of others and judge ourselves first, the more we will write their faults upon the sands where they will be washed away, and the more we will write their virtues upon tablets of love and memory where they will last forever. Do not judge so that you may not be judged, said Jesus. But before this day is out, we will inevitably make some judgments about one another. Some of them will be right and good, while others will be wrong and bad. Just remember how dangerous harsh judgments can be. Think how people judged our Lord himself. "Winebibber and glutton," said some. "Blasphemer," said others. "Away with him, crucify him," said still others. And they did. The most righteous and the only person who ever lived became the crucified victim of bad judgment. But thanks be to God, his death opened up a new way for us to find forgiveness for our sin of bad judgment. For he who said, "Do not judge," also said as he hung on that cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And God does forgive you, my friends. So accept his forgiveness and go on out of here and forgive one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, as God's people, let us join with God's people everywhere as we stand and say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now look to God in prayer. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. So we turn to you today with praise in our hearts, but also with hearts full of concerns. Many people in our church and nation need your special help, whether they are grieving the loss of loved ones, or struggling with discouraging health or personal issues. We ask you to be with each one of them. May they all know that they can never drift beyond your love and care. And especially do we pray for all those people who are listed in our bulletin today. Also, be with our national, state, and local leaders as they attempt to resolve so many difficult issues. We ask your special blessing on our Congress and President as they seek to resolve our critical immigration problems. In particular, we pray for the children who have been separated from their families and ask you in your providence to find an acceptable way to reunite them. These prayers we make in the strong name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, friends in Christ, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us worship God with our morning offering. Thank you. us pray. Oh God, you have given us so much. Give us one thing more, we pray. Grateful hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our hymn of worship is 321, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine. Spirit, be with all of you. Amen.